It isn't the things you don't know, it's the things you think you know that just aren't so that are the problem. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles Policy. Along with me today is my Vice Chairman, our co-host, fellow analyst, and my good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Yeah, sitting back here on my back porch on an extremely cold day.
Yes, well, you know what, Chuck? It is January, and cold is supposed to be where we are. However, I think a lot of people would say, well, you know what? The reason why it's not been such a horrible winter this year is because of all the global warming. You know, Chuck, we know it's a fact. I mean, Al Gore did an entire movie about it, won a Nobel Peace Prize for it.
Well, and I think he won an Oscar, too.
And he won an Oscar for the movie. So we know global warming's a fact. As a matter of fact, we've been giving out American tax dollars to companies who produce green energy because it's better for the environment. And if we could reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, we can actually save the planet. You know, because everybody knows that it's just been getting warmer and warmer and warmer and warmer. And we've had scientists that have told us that, you know what? You say that there isn't any global warming, you know, you're some kind of a freak. Chuck, you've heard that, haven't you?
Oh, I've had it said to me.
I think today is the day that we can say, aha, we're at least partially vindicated. Because I think most of our listeners would understand that there's been a lot of, shall we say, stretching of the data and the truth in order to make a case that the world's getting warmer and warmer. Now, you know what, if we just looked outside and you said, well, this winter, you know, yeah, we didn't have any major ice storms and we didn't have 3 feet of snow on the ground. So therefore, they must be right. We'd be doing ourselves and those around us a great disservice. Well, you see, right now, this all started, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past. This all started, doubts about global warming really came to light when a group of emails were, well, hacked and intercepted from a place called the East Anglia Climatic Research Unit over in England, kind of the epicenter for the global warming movement. Turns out that more information is now being put forth, and part of that information now are figures, temperature data specifically, showing that, Chuck, surprise, surprise, Earth has not warmed for the last 15 years. It was 1997 when the last measurable increase in the temperature of the Earth had occurred. Now, if that's the case, now, honestly, in 1997, Charles, we didn't hear anything about global warming. Now, did we?
When, in 97?
In 97, yes.
I was hearing the rumblings, yeah.
Okay, but maybe a little bit of rumbling.
It wasn't a big deal. There was some work going on because I can recall there was a book written by Albert Gore Jr.
Jr.
The vice president. It was called Earth in the Balance.
Yes. And I've read that book, Chuck. I hate to admit it publicly, but I have read that book. But yeah, he was saying that unless we like reduce the population and took everybody back to the Stone Age and only let the elites be able to have technology, because, you know, Al in his mansion, he burns more greenhouse gases and emits more greenhouse gases than 30 families would in the course of a year. just him alone in his mansion. And that was reported just the other day. But
yes,
so,
in his ultra necessary Cadillac Escalade with the armor that gets something like 8 miles to the gallon or something.
Yeah, not to mention private jet where just he and the crew and all the people around him to make his life more comfortable, where he flies everywhere across the globe, preaching about how we must reduce our carbon footprint and our greenhouse gas emissions while he's flying a Learjet. So, you know, again, hypocrisy, thy name is Al Gore. But we're seeing now, Chuck, that now climate scientists, many of them who had some doubts in the first place, are now pointing to this new data and saying, look, we've not had any warming of this planet in the last 15 years. As a matter of fact, they're going to go one step further. And I know you know a little bit about this, Charles. So that's the reason why I wanted to talk about this today. They say that because of the lack of sunspot activity that we've been having from the sun, we may be going into what would be known as a little ice age. So in other words, instead of getting warmer, it might actually just get colder.
Sure. And history would bear that out because there are a couple of periods where sunspots became exceedingly low and they were all followed by closely by extremely cold periods. Now, one of the problems you've got in the global warming debate, which, if you'll recall, Al Gore declared the debate is over, if you'll remember that little speech.
Yes.
The fact is the debate was only over because all the global warmists had taken over all the referee journals and were sitting in most of the chairs of the science departments, and therefore they were stifling debate. And once debate is stifled, the debate is definitely over. We could go do an entire show on the debate over evolution versus creation. And the fact is that the debate is over because evolutionists are never allowed to get PhDs anymore. I'm sorry, the creationists aren't allowed to get PhDs anymore. Pardon me.
I was about to say, what did, yeah. did my world just get turned upside down? Because it's always been the other way right. around.
But the fact is that the creation side always allowed the evolution side to get their degrees. This is where things get different. Once the other side gets a hold of the apparatus, they play stifle. And that's exactly what's happened in the global warming debate. The fact is that if you actually talk to these people about the subject we're going to broach today, they will go almost apoplectic in attempting to say the thing that we're going to be talking about has nothing to do with global warming.
Yes, that's right. And the thing we're talking about is the sun. Yes, that's right.
The sun has nothing.
According to these global climate scientists, the sun has no influence whatsoever on Earth's temperatures.
Yeah, exactly. It's the most absurd scientific theory I've ever heard, and that is the sun has very little to do with the temperature of the planet. The sun has virtually everything to do with the temperature of the planet. Are there such things as greenhouse gases? Yes, there are. And you've probably heard that the big news was about carbon dioxide.
Yes.
Being a greenhouse gas. But of course, the most potent greenhouse gas of all, by multiple times, is water vapor, also known as cloud cover.
Cloud cover, yes.
And one of the things that affects cloud cover is sunspots. And the reason that it affects cloud cover is because when the sun is inactive, the geomagnetic field of the world goes quiet, and more cosmic rays can enter the atmosphere. And when more cosmic rays enter the atmosphere, cosmic rays are one of the triggers for cloud formation.
Aha.
So as more cosmic rays enter and strike particles, more clouds are created and the global temperature drops. So you could argue, yes, that greenhouse gases do have something to do with the warming of the planet, but it ain't CO2. And it's not some of the weird things they claimed about cow flatulence and some methane and some of these other things, because those are tiny, tiny, tiny constituents of the atmosphere. The fact is that the main warming and cooling effect comes from cloud cover or water vapor.
Water vapor, which, you know, and just to think about it, Chuck, you know, because right now, what we would call the global warming alarmists, and those are the people who are saying that the Earth's getting warmer and warmer and everybody's going to die because it's going to get too hot, they're basing it on carbon dioxide. But ladies and gentlemen, just remember, carbon dioxide, it's what we as human beings breathe out. You know, we breathe in oxygen, our lungs exchange it and exchange it for carbon dioxide, and carbon dioxide comes out. Beautiful exchange, because plants take in carbon dioxide and give off oxygen. So we've always had carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas called carbon dioxide, in various percentages in our atmosphere, sometimes heavier, sometimes not. But usually in those areas where it's heavier, Charles, is where you see a lot more plant growth, if I remember my history correctly.
Well, as the concentration has gone up, actually, it's already a proven fact that yields are up.
That's right, crop yields, which is a benefit to humankind and to the planet, not a detriment.
So one thing we have to remember, and occasionally people forget that we are Christian worldview advocates.
Yes.
Our Christian worldview is such that these things are in God's hands. They're certainly not in our hands. And all this effort, yes, should we make an effort to clean up the planet? Yes. Should we make an effort not to put junk into our atmosphere? Absolutely. That's part of the stewardship mandate, Barry.
That's exactly right.
Keep things as clean as you can. use resources wisely. Don't waste things. Don't trash the place. Don't make things toxic. But the fact is that overall, the climate is not in our hands. There's not a darn thing we could do about the climate. We can fool around. The government's been fooling around with weather control for years and trying to use it as a weapon. And it basically turned out to be such an unbelievable task. I mean, we can make it rain under certain circumstances and that kind of thing. But the technology it's turning out is just so much larger than our ability. It's so far outside of our understanding. And that, Barry, is one of the main problems that we've had with this whole global warming and these climate models that spurred this whole quote unquote debate that wasn't a debate at all. It was an attempt to dictate policy. The models down to the last one are flawed, and they're fatally flawed.
Yeah.
And that's the whole, we don't understand the science well enough to create a model. And the fact is that when Al Gore said the debate is over, what he really meant was, well, the models have all predicted that this is going to happen, and the models have steadfastly refused to predict. And that's how you tell if a model works or not.
That's right. If it's not, speaking if as it's not a, predicting correctly, it doesn't work.
Speaking as a trained scientist, if the model doesn't predict the behavior, there's something wrong with the model. And the climate models have time after time after time after time completely failed to predict the behavior of the weather. Therefore, the models are busted.
Yeah, and Chuck, and it's not just us saying it, because Dr. Nicola Scafetta of Duke University in North Carolina was quoted in an article that talked about this, saying that according to the climate models that have been put out by the global warming extremists, that there should have been steady warming from the year 2000 all the way to now, but we've not seen warming since 1997. As a matter of fact, because of the cessation or the reduction in activity on the sun, we've had fewer and fewer sunspots. As a matter of fact, they're talking about this cycle has been well underperforming, and we're in the middle of what they call cycle 24, which I believe is an 11-year cycle of sunspot activity where it increases and then it decreases, and sun's cyclical. That the next cycle, 25, may be even weaker, and then the next one after that could be even weaker still. And the last time that happened, we had a thing called the Little Ice Age in the 1700s, going into about 1830 across the world, where the canals in Holland actually froze solid. And there are paintings that are done of the Thames River in London frozen over, and a carnival or a fair was going on the river itself, because the river's frozen so deep that you can walk across it. But that's, you know, it's not just us saying that. It's many scientists who are out there looking at this now and saying, guys, your models aren't working. Your predictions are all flawed. So I guess, does that mean Al Gore, Chuck, has to give back his Nobel Prize and his Oscar?
Want to bet, Barry? The Nobel Prize, first of all, is one of the biggest political boondoggles out there. The fact is, it's given to politically correct candidates who support an agenda of globalization. Those are the only people who ever win a Nobel Prize, except in some of the really offbeat and by popular demand. For instance, I think Ludwig von Mises won a, it may have been Hayek, I can't remember, Hayek or von Mises won a Nobel Prize for economics.
I believe it might have been Hayek.
Hayek. And it was simply because of the predictive capability of the Austrian model of economics. There was simply no way to dispute the fact that the Austrian model predicts economic behavior much better than the Keynesian model or any other of the socialistic models that are out there. So once again, the models are busted. Now here's a problem we're going to have, Barry, because we have 35 seconds left. You want to carry over?
I suppose, because there is a lot more that we need to talk about this,
and
to help our listeners get more informed, so when people start saying, well, you know, we're warming and therefore that's a problem, and so we need to put all your tax dollars into these green projects, you can stop them and say, but the data is not going that direction. And that's the best way to get to combat an emotional argument is with solid data. So I guess, Chuck, if folks will hang tight, they can stick with us tomorrow as we come back again at 5:30 and continue this discussion on why It isn't what you don't know, it's what you know that just ain't so. That's the problem.
Join us tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.